love you, Jesus. Just give him some praise. We love you. We worship you. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you, Father God. I do want to give one announcement just in case I forget at the end of the service. This Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., we are having our monthly prayer meeting down here at the church. As always, pray every Monday at 6:30 with your family, those around you. But also this Tuesday, not Monday, those of you that come to our monthly prayer meeting, listen up. It's Tuesday this month, okay? Tuesday at 6:30, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Come out and pray with us, guys. We have a wonderful time, and there is so much to pray about. Amen. Let us give the Lord some praise. Go ahead. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 4, verse 2 through 5. I entreat. Okay, first of all, there's two names of two precious Christian ladies in our text for this morning, okay? As we're continuing our study through Philippians, I'm not saying I'm getting their names right, but I'm the one up here. Philippians 4 and verse 2, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. That's our text for this morning. Lord willing, we'll get through it. That's up to the good Lord. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Your will be done in this house. Thank you, Father God, that we are going to leave here refreshed and excited, energized, ready to go about your business, ready to be what you have called us to be, Lord. Thank you for your anointing and just what you want to be done in this house will be done, Lord. We love you. We love you. And we love you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. So here we are. We're in chapter 4 of our study in Philippians. So this is the last chapter in the book of Philippians. Paul's kind of sort of winding down, but in preacher fashion, as it looks like he's winding down, he's really got a lot more to talk about. And if you remember, as we've been going through this study in Philippians, and we stopped for the holiday season, and now we're picking it back up again, but one of the big things in our study in Philippians is church unity, brothers and sisters in Christ getting along, standing on what we have in common. There's a whole world that doesn't get us. There's a whole world that doesn't necessarily like us, but there's a whole world that needs us. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. So the Apostle Paul is addressing a disagreement in the Philippian church between two ladies. And what it has done is it has apparently caused quite a disruption in the church. Now, keep in mind that the Apostle Paul doesn't say exactly what they're fighting about, but it's not a doctrinal issue. It's not, well, let me say it like this. It's not some false gospel that one of them is talking about. It's not some heresy. If it was a big-time doctrinal issue, the Apostle Paul would address that. He's not afraid of doing that. If you look through the Pauline letters, man, he goes right for the jugular. He does not want anything contrary to the will of God, the word of God, in these churches. He takes that very seriously, as we should as well. But what's going on here is two ladies, two good Christian ladies, are just not getting along, and it's affecting those around them. So I entreat you, Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. So entreat in the New King James is I implore. I implore these ladies. In the NIV, I kind of like the NIV translation for this. It says I plead with these ladies. It is so serious, and Paul understands the serious. It's these little things left unchecked can cause so much destruction and disruption in the church. Can I get a witness? Matter of fact, look at me with Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. You're probably familiar with this verse. I remember my dad quoting it to me all the time. I remember hearing it all the time. But it makes so much sense because it's the little things so often that cause so much trouble if they're not dealt with, if they're not given to the Lord. So we want to make sure that we don't allow any seed of bitterness to take root in our lives. And we want to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to forgive everybody, okay? Song of Solomon 2, verse 15. Catch the foxes for us. Catch the foxes for us. Listen, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, it's the little tiny things that slip underneath the radar that if we don't deal with them, if we don't give them to the Lord, can cause so much destruction. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now he says, I entreat these ladies to agree in the Lord. So this is a really cool thing. Whatever's going on between you two girls, whatever you got going on, let's focus on what you have in common. Let's focus on the fact that you belong to the Lord. Let's focus on the fact that God expects us. Well, let me say it like this. God holds us to a higher standard. You know, there's people watching us, people in the church watching us, family members watching us. The world is watching us. Amen. So God calls us to live a set aside life for his glory. That's why we're here. We're here to give God glory. That's why we exist. So he says, the Apostle Paul says, hey guys, ladies, just deal with it. That's basically what he's saying. Squash it, get over it, whatever it is. Give it to the Lord. Focus on what is true. Focus on what is good. Amen. Look with me at Philippians 2 and verse 2. I'm going to enjoy some of this delicious spring water. Sister Claudia had this particular batch flown in from France, and it is good. It is good. When I say France, I mean pick and save. But I think it was near the international section. Yeah, I'm not going to spill it, baby. I hope not. Philippians 2 and verse 2. So we're going back to our earlier chapters in Philippians now, because Paul has been pounding this into this church. Now keep in mind, the Apostle Paul, he's on house arrest. He could be just sequestered all alone and just say, you know what, church folk, I'm out of it, man. You guys do the thing, man. I'm going through my own mess right now. I got a lot going on. But instead of being discouraged, he sends off this letter to encourage this very special church. And he's talking to some very special ladies, ladies that he loves very much, according to the text that we're going to be getting into, ladies that he cares about tremendously. He's saying, you know what? You guys just deal with this. Whatever it is, it ain't worth it. Okay, so anyways, we're going back to Philippians 2 and verse 2. This is what he's saying to the same church. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love. So when it says agree in the Lord, it can also mean this. Guys, you have the same love. You guys can't see the fact that you love one another right now, or maybe you can. It's just kind of clouded because he said or she said or someone did that or whatever. But listen, you are loved by God, man. You are loved by God. You are his children. You are his much-loved children, okay? You got that. Start right back there, man. You guys are both Bible-believing Christians. You have that in common, and the rest of the world doesn't see the things the way you see them. So let's just get back to the beginning. Okay, Philippians 2 and verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. A church in unity can do amazing things. You look at the early church, man, and how they were in one accord and how they turned the world upside down. You know what I mean? So certainly we want to have unity. We want to be on the same page. We want to take our little disagreements, whatever they are. We don't let them take root. We don't let bitterness come in. We give it to the Lord. And if we need to talk to somebody, let's talk to them. But let's just work it out. You know, amen. Can I get a witness? And I'm not saying nothing's going on, man. We're going verse by verse in Philippians. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And this is a necessary thing for us to go over from time to time, because we all have that potential of having someone hurt our feelings or something like that. Happens all the time. Now, go to Proverbs, or turn over your bulletin and look on the monitor, whatever you want to do. But Proverbs 6 and verse 16, you see the Most High God is weighing in on this thing that the Apostle Paul is saying. And the Apostle Paul is obviously being obedient to the Most High God. But in Proverbs 6 and verse 16, we got this right here. There are six things that the Lord hates. Raise your hands if you want to fit in the category of having behaviors in your life that God cannot stand. And check this out. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him. How about that? How's that look on your resume? I got a whole bunch of stuff going on in my, I'm just an abomination station is what's going on with me. You know, but look here. So 6, 7 things that really, really get under the Most High God's skin. And we are his children. Now we're going to skip a couple verses, but jump over to Proverbs 6 and verse 19 because this is what we're talking about today. Proverbs 6 and verse 19. These are a couple of things that the Most High God cannot stand. A false witness. We're not necessarily talking about that today, but let's address it, a false witness. We don't need to be lying, right? Look at your neighbor and say, we don't need to be lying. A false witness who breathes out lies. Now look at this. And one who sows discord among brothers. God cannot stand it when we sow discord among the brothers. God can't stand it when we just can't shut our mouths and we want to spread all kinds of trouble and, you know, stuff that may or may not be true. And certainly if you're talking about it, it's true to you, and certainly you're really hurt by whatever it is. But see, here's the thing, man. God says, there's a way to handle these things, okay? Don't go around spreading all kind of garbage about other people. That's going to cause so much disruption in the church. And God says, I don't want that. I want the church to be on the same page, moving in the same direction, spreading the gospel, furthering God's kingdom. Can I get a witness? Okay, Philippians 4 and verse 2. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. No one has to get with me after church and say, hey, this is how you pronounce that. It doesn't matter. I'm from the deep south. I do the best I can. Okay. Verse 3. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So remember when I said a little bit earlier, these aren't just some off the streets, rowdy lady folk, man. You know, these are people that Paul knows personally. Look, he says, labored side by side with me. Okay, I've been in the trenches with these ladies. I have worked elbow to elbow with him, trying to do what's right for the Most High God, trying to be obedient and move this thing forward. I know these ladies' hearts. I don't exactly know what got in between them. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but I know that these are godly women that are trying to do the right thing. So something's come in there, and we need to deal with it. And it says, whose names are written, or whose names are in the book of life. So raise your hands if you're stoked that your name's in the book of life. Yeah, that's good news. That's the best news we're going to hear all day, man. You know, thank God for that wonderful, precious gift. For the wages of sin is death. You know what I'm talking about, right? If you don't ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, if you don't repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, okay, there's eternal damnation waiting for you, separation from your God, from God for all eternity. So every single one of us, we have to come to that place where we say, you know what? I've messed up things pretty dang good. I can't do it on my own. I can't get to heaven on my own. Heaven's a perfect place for perfect people, and I ain't perfect. No one's perfect, right? But we accept that perfect gift. You have got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you need to do that today. If you have not done that, do it today. Do it before you leave this property. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. You can come talk to me after the service. You can come talk to one of the elders. We would love to pray with you if you have not made that decision. But don't put it off another day. I'm doing funerals all the time, man. A lot of the time I'm doing it. You know, and simple fact of the matter is we don't know how much time we have. You might be fit as a fiddle, man, but that don't matter. When your time's up, your time's up. Anywho, moving forward, tell the truth, shame the devil. Give the Lord some praise. All right, bring it back in. Yeah, so the Apostle Paul, he's saying, this lady and this lady ain't getting along and is causing trouble in the church. Okay, so if these ladies won't work it out, then I'm asking you, loyal buddy, compadre. He calls him, entrusted, true companion. Paul's bringing in a third party. He's like, we got to deal with this, man. He's bringing in a third person. I'm over here locked up in Rome, okay, and I know you guys are going through a bunch. You got all this persecution coming against you as Christian folk. Hey, you guys need to be on the same page, man, all right? You need to have some unity, some togetherness there, because the world's coming against you. You don't know what's going to happen, but God wants to use this church, so let's deal with this. He's bringing in this guy. His name's not really given, and none of the translations, the name is really, really given. But he says, man, you step in. You step in and help these ladies work this situation out. And that's very biblical. You know, it's not something that I personally like to do. All right. You know that feeling when you know two people in your world that you care about, that you're getting along with just fine? As far as you know, hey, lady number one's cool with me, and as far as I know, lady number two's cool with me. So it can be very dangerous or stressful, right? You know, to step in a situation and say, hey, ladies, hey, let's work on this. You know, okay, that goes against that's like stepping into a potential big time mess. But see, that's what scripture says we need to do. You know, it's all through scripture. Matter of fact, the book of Philemon. The whole book of Philemon is really like a page, one chapter. But the whole thing is about the Apostle Paul stepping in again with his pal Philemon and his pal Onesimus and saying, hey, you guys, man, you're both Christians. Work it out. Work it out. Squash this junk. Okay, there's way more important, bigger fish to fry than you guys grumbling. And both of these cats, man, thought they had a real legitimate reason to be mad at one another. Okay, so, and then also, Acts chapter 9, I think. Oh, yeah, it's right there. Oh, man, we got the monitors again. Awesome. God is good. Okay, so Acts chapter 9, we got a couple verses here where the Apostle Paul didn't intervene like he is now, or like he did in the book of Philemon. But he had somebody step in as a third person and say, what's going on between you guys? Ain't right. All right, we're Christian folk here. Let's deal with this. Let's work on this. So in Acts 9, we have the Apostle Paul basically just got saved. He just accepted Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul, his reputation preceded him or whatever. You know, he was going around arresting Christians, man. He was going around arresting Christians. He had a huge amount to do with church persecution during the early days of the church. But then, as you know, on the road to Damascus, he meets Jesus Christ. He has that come to Jesus moment on the road to Damascus. And boom, he's a changed dude, just like you were. You know what I mean? You were serving Satan, even if you didn't realize it. You know, looking back on it, you're like, hey, right? But you go from serving Satan to serving the Most High God. You know, so you're a different person. The Apostle Paul, he's a different guy. And now he's preaching about Jesus Christ. So he goes back to Jerusalem, like the home base for the church at this time. He goes back to Jerusalem, wants to meet other believers, wants to get involved with them. And they're like, I hear you knocking, but no. Nobody trusted him, man. And for good reason, man. He was going around killing folk. But anyways, so this cat, not a literal cat, but a dude, a guy, a man, a fella, his name was Barnabas, Barney. Barnabas, son of encouragement, I think that's what his name means. He steps into the picture and he's like, hey, apostles, disciples, I saw this guy preaching. Okay, he could have been killed already for standing up to Jesus Christ. He is the real deal, man. He's changed. So this third dude steps in to bring peace in this situation. Matter of fact, let's read it real fast. Acts 9 and verse 26. And when he had come to Jerusalem, Paul, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. 27. But Barnabas took him. Thank God for Barnabas's, man. Thank God for people that say, you know what, I'm just going to stick my neck out here a little bit. I'm going to get involved. People have been that for me in here. That's what we want to do. And thank God for the people that said, hey, you know what, Polly, deal with it here. Polly, baby. That's how they talk to me. Nobody talks to me like that. Yeah, see? Okay. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him to the apostles. Barney just steps in and is like, come on, Paul. Come on, come on. Oh, we're going to talk to these guys. I don't know, Barnabas. No, no, come on, we're going to deal with this. But Barnabas took him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So sometimes people get in disagreements, just like we have here in our text. Sometimes they're not willing to bring peace or closure. Sometimes they just don't know what to do, man. So sometimes it is appropriate for a third person to step in and say, I love you and I love you. Let's talk about this. Philippians 2 and verse 4. Christian folk. So we're back in Philippians 2 now again. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the same church. Philippians 2 and verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's like, oh man, that looks kind of dangerous, man, to get in here and say, hey, ladies, or whatever. That's just what the text has got going on. Work this out. Work it out. Okay, but look at what God says. Look, let each of you, all of us, look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Okay. So we got to get our eyes off of ourselves sometimes and say, hey, man, I'm cool with these folks, man. I wish them well. Oh, well, I'll see you at Taco Bell, you know. but Scripture's saying, hey, sometimes you need to get in the middle to bring peace, not to choose a side. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. Sometimes it takes a little bit of encouragement. Sometimes we have to step in the gap and say, hey, we need to get through this. Let's go to the next slide, Clyde. Is everybody doing all right? I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The Apostle Paul is really trying to pound this point home, bring this point home. Rejoice in the Lord. And I'm going to say it again. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, and we have numerous, countless reasons to have joy in the Lord. What he is not talking about is being happy or in a jovial, good time mood because your circumstances are all right at the moment. He's not talking about that. He's saying you can have joy, you can have contentment, you can have peace by focusing on God and God's goodness. So ladies, instead of being stressed out, ladies, and I'm not talking just to ladies, I'm talking about the text, so please, you know, please, be cool, man, be cool. there's so much that we can be excited about. Instead of fighting amongst one another, instead of being stressed out, and I don't want to go to church because everybody's kind of grouping together and pulling sides together, or I don't want to go to church because everyone's fighting. What if the church all just focused on God, man? What if we just focused on God and his goodness and let us have joy when there's nothing else you can trust in that's going to be there for you forever other than the Most High God? That is our anchor when the ship's being tossed around. That is the anchor that keeps us right there, man. He is the rock. Does that make sense? Okay. Anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil. So instead of being stressed out, like we can be, there's a lot going on. instead of being depressed, and we certainly can be, because a lot of people have certainly been through it, let's focus on God. Let's focus on God's goodness and receive joy, real joy. So Psalm 106, verse 1, it's a verse I say, I don't know, I say it numerous times in a week when I'm talking to folks, but it's not just for the folks I'm talking to, but it's just as much for me, that I always have a reason to be thankful to God, that I always have a reason to give God glory no matter what's going on in my world. I always have a reason to be thankful to God. So I want to turn my eyes off of myself and my troubles, which are real. You know, I got real things going on. We got real things going on, man. We got a world crumbling around us, but God is faithful. You know what I mean? You got everybody and their mama lying to you, but God is faithful. We got all kinds of rubbish going on, but God is faithful. Okay, so look at Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. I don't feel like praising the Lord right now. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. I don't know, man. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For he is good. But you don't know what I've been through this year. Man, I know, but God is good. God is good. Let God be true, and everybody else can be a liar. God's word is the truth. Amen. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Man, I just love that verse. I love it. His steadfast love ain't going nowhere. All right. He is faithful. Doesn't matter who comes in and out of your life, who's talking mess about you. God is faithful. Amen. So we want to focus on God and his goodness. Rejoice in that fact. Amen. Get our eyes off of ourselves and our little problems. And if I'm about God's business, God will be about my business. And the more I focus on God, the more I see God for who he is, the smaller my problems are going to be. And to be quite honest, if I'm at fault somewhere in some disagreement or some other sin or something, the more time I spend with God, the more I magnify God and give God glory, the more I'm going to have this burden. Hey, you know what? I need to deal with this. This wasn't exactly right. I could have went around this a different way. Or at least like, hey, you know, I need to work on this. Tell the truth, right? Shame the devil. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, we got this Ephesians 4, verse 32. Very, very powerful verse. It's not in your notes, but it is so, so powerful and so important in my life. But it simply states this. I'm going to give it to the NIV because that's how I learned it. Be kind and compassionate to one another. What did Paul, do you know what these dudes, do you know what these folks have done? Do you know what they said about me? Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate. This is God. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So the big thing here is the fact that Christian people are forgiven. We're forgiven of our sins, and I've got a bucket full of them, man. I got a doozy wallops mountain full of them, man. I've done so many things that I'm not proud of. If you got time, I'm not going to tell you. Rachel Jean said, it ain't no one's business. Rachel Jean said, you don't want your mama to know that, baby. She said, that's just for you and the Lord. And we're not sure about the statute of limitations on some of this stuff. We just need to be cool. Okay, so anyways, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We're forgiven folks, man. And so if we got a bone to pick with somebody else and we're just letting it fester or whatever, they're really getting under our skin, you know the deal. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, God says, Hold the phone there, all right? I forgave you, and you sure appreciate that grace. And I'm willing to forgive those people, or maybe they're Christians, and I've already forgiven them as well. And who in the world are you, big, big, mighty, cool dude? Who are you, big cat daddy, to say you ain't going to forgive those people when my son died so you could be forgiven and they can be forgiven? You know, let it go. Let it go. I'm not saying we haven't been hurt. Certainly we have, man. People can be cruel and vicious, and that's the world we live in. But, okay, God says move forward. Move forward, man. You know, we don't live in that junk, all right? Okay, moving forward. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Live your life like God could come back at any moment. And he certainly can, you know. But live your life like, hey, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, man, Jesus Christ is coming back. Okay? So you know what? We would look at things a little bit differently then. Is this really that big of a deal that this dude took my parking place? And you know, you see what I'm saying? Live your life with that fact, you know. Hey, man, and we can look at it like this. There's a whole world that needs the church to get their act together. There's a whole world that needs the church to get out there and further God's kingdom by being obedient and letting that light shine. Okay, so let your reasonableness be known to everyone, not just a select few. Okay, now the New King James says, let your gentleness, and I like that one, let your gentleness be known. NLT, be considerate. I like that one. New American Standard might be my favorite. Let your gentle spirit be known. Okay? Let your gentle spirit be known to everyone. So we don't have to always win every argument. We don't. We don't have to win every argument. We don't have to have somebody say exactly what they did wrong to us or whatever. God just says, you know, forgive, let it go. Just let it go. You know, how many times did I forgive my brother? A whole bunch, and don't count. Just keep forgiving. Okay, so we need to live our lives. Spiritual maturity, man, that's what we're shooting for. Spiritual maturity, more of God, less of me. Matter of fact, look at James 1 and 9. Let's let James, the half-brother of Jesus, weigh in on this. James 1 and verse 9. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person... Every person? Yeah, Paul, every person. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, or quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Now, that would solve a lot of problems right there. That would solve a lot of things from getting out of hand if we just listen. You know, listen. Okay, moving forward. I don't want to preach to anybody, but I'm preaching. Yeah. Romans 12 and verse 18. Oh, this is a tough one too. And the Apostle Paul, man, he's going through a big mess of his own, man. But he's saying, you ladies, man, it ain't worth it. Just work it out. Work it out. Brother, my true companion, get in there. Get in the middle. Get in the middle. Let's bring some peace to this situation so we can move forward. Romans 12 and verse 18. If possible, because it ain't always possible, but it's not saying if you don't want to, then don't worry about it. Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you. See, that's the thing right there. If possible, you are, as a Christian person, you're to do everything in your power as possible to keep the peace or bring the peace back or bring healing into a situation. I have not always done that. There's been a lot of times that I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to deal with this. I got too much going on, man. I ain't dealing with that right now. One, two, three strikes you out, baby. No, that's not Christ-like, right? Romans 12 and 18. All God's people said, one. No. Romans 12 and verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So God takes this stuff very seriously, man. It's like, you do everything in your power to keep the peace. So if you feel a little agitation beginning to fester and a little bitterness coming in, oh my goodness gracious, I better get with this person. I better get with the Lord. I need to get peace in this situation. Okay, last verse, John 13 and verse 34. This is Jesus Christ here. John 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Okay. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. What does that look like? Jesus, this new commandment, What does that look like? Just as I have loved you. So we look at Jesus as our forever example, our template to follow, right? And so how did Jesus love us? Completely sacrificial, putting our needs before his, right? And this is really, really tough. That's why in those two greatest commandments, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. You know, you got to work on that one before you can really love your neighbor as yourself. You know what I mean? But this is the direction we need to go in. God wants a church unified, and we can do so much when we're on that same page. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. But Jesus, you don't know. No, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly how you feel. He's been tempted in every single way, just every single thing you've ever been tempted in, he's been through it too. He knows how it feels. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So church folk, that's what we want to work on, man. That's our text for this week. And we want to love one another. We don't need any infighting or anything like that. If you got something like that going on, work it out. Okay? Dear Lord, we love you and we praise you, Lord. I ask you to bless these folks. Let us truly be about your business this week. Let us put you first and your will be done in every area. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray.